In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. By the passing of each moment, Umar ibn Sa'd's army kept increasing, and his forces kept rising, while Imam Hussein's companions were still few in numbers. Habib ibn Mazahir was one of Imam Hussein's companions. He went to Imam Hussein and said, "O the grandchild of Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, around here nearby are tribes that is called the Beni Asads. They live along the two rivers. They are a night long distance from us. I will go to them and ask them for your invitation. May the Lord send blessings to you." Imam Hussein agreed, and he went. When Habib reached there, he gathered the whole tribe and invited them. Out of the whole tribe, only 70 to 90 of them accepted. One of them escaped and went to Umar ibn Sa'd and informed him about the sequence. Umar ibn Sa'd sent 400 men to wage war against them. Some of the Asadians became martyrs, and the rest of them returned. Habib ibn Mazahir went back to Imam Hussein and informed him about the sequence. Due to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's orders, Umar ibn Sa'd was supposed to cut off the water from Imam Hussein, and that's what they did. They cut off the water from Imam Hussein. It has been said that Imam Hussein went behind his tent and started digging. And after a while, water kept pouring out. Imam Hussein and his companions started drinking from that water and filling their musks with water. Suddenly, the water disappeared. When the news was reached to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, Ubaydullah ordered everyone to send some of these groups to stand guard and make sure Imam Hussein doesn't dig again. When the thirst was becoming very painful and very hard for the companions of Imam Hussein, Burayr went to Imam Hussein and said, "O the Messenger of Allah, I will go to Umar ibn Sa'd and I will call him forth for a discussion about the water." Imam Hussein said, "Do as you wish." Didn't greet Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd said, "Why aren't you greeting me? Am I not a Muslim? Don't I believe a God and its messenger?" Burayr said, "If you believe in God and you were a Muslim, you wouldn't have waged a war against the heir of the Prophet, and you wouldn't have cut off the water from him so that they would die from thirst. Without doing this, you put down your head and you say that you are Muslim, and you believe in a God and its messenger. Umar ibn Sa'd said, what can I do? I know it's forbidden to fight against the heir of the Prophet, but I just can't leave the city of Ray to someone else but me. Burayr went back to Imam Hussein and told him that Umar ibn Sa'd is fighting you so that he can govern the city of Ray. It has been said that Imam Hussein sent his brother Abul Fazl Abbas along with 50 other men, which 30 of them were horsebacks, to get some water. Nafi' was one of those people. When they reached, someone of the guards recognized Nafi'. His name was Amru. He asked Nafi', why have you come here? Nafi' said, I'm here so that I can drink from the water that you guys are preventing us from. Amru said, go on, drink ahead and enjoy it. Nafi' said, I won't drink from the water until I know that Imam Hussein and his companions are relieved from thirst. At that time, the other guards have saw and noticed them, and they came forward so that they can stop others from getting the water. Abul Fazl ordered to get some water and prevented them, along with the horsebacks and Nafi'. When the musks of water was full, it was given to the horsebacks and raised to the tent of Imam Hussein so that the women and the children can drink and relieve their thirst. This was the first battle between Imam Hussein's companions and the people of Kufa. It has been said that in this battle, only one person got injured, and that was by Nafi', which died after a few days later. Seeing this, Omar sent more soldiers so that they can stop them from getting water. They did it because it was Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's orders. At the end of the day, Umar ibn Sa'd's army reached about 20,000 men. Practically, all of the Kufians were there to fight against Imam Hussein. It has been said some of them would escape the army, but not to find Allah, but to go to the river of Farat and supposedly secure the place there. Greed and grief was obviously in those who stayed to fight against Imam Hussein, and in those who didn't make any effort to fight against Imam Hussein, but still stayed in the army of Ubaydullah, were also obsessed about this world. They avoided aiding Imam Hussein, even though when they knew that Imam Hussein was a good person, no human being and no animal have seen anything wrong from him. Not to mention those people who long supported the Prophet, his father and his brother, and clearly knew that he was rightfully chosen to all the greatness and all the goodness. This fact was so crystal clear that the sworn enemies of Imam Ali alayhi salam couldn't have rejected it. If someone rejected it, he or she would have questioned his or her authorities and would have known to be insane. It was as if saying the sun wasn't out in daylight. They tried to suspend Imam Hussein's supremacy and attribute it all to themselves. They tried advertising, saying Imam Hussein was against Islam and the Prophet of Islam, so that they could gain all the minds to themselves before believing that Imam Hussein is just. They would have been against him and killed him already.
You said you want to give water to man my thirst, Uncle, I wish you never went to Al-Qami. Uncle, I wish you never went to Al-Qami.
Those who chose not to be with Yazid, they also didn't do anything against them and preferred an impure prophet and an unworthy security. But as it was meant by God, they were never successful. Meanwhile, there were people who were obsessed about the sight of their beloved and didn't see it fitting to be as a nobleman in this world and see it deeming to this world. It has been said that someone under the name of Amru tried to kill Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad in the gatherings of Nukhayla. They were never successful. They left Nukhayla and tried to become one of Imam Hussein's companions. Even though they all knew that Imam Hussein was going to die, and even though Imam Hussein knew that he was going to die, he was still trying to show the difference between right and wrong. He continued to carry out his mission. And every day, he was getting firmer and firmer. For his beloved had said, "Praise to me and continue praise to me until you truly believe in me."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. We were discussing some of the traits that caused the people to be on the opposite side of Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi, to cause them to go and fight the Imam, or at least not help the Imam and be in his camp. The first one that we were talking about was the trait of nifaq, hypocrisy. We explained that according to one of the verses of the Holy Quran, breaking an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause this trait, will embed this trait in a human's heart. Tonight, I would like to read a few more verses about what is the cause of this trait, of this very, very dangerous trait. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in another case, and the Holy Quran in Surah Ali Imran, verse 167, says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وليعلم الذين نافقوا وقيل لهم تعالوا قاتلوا في سبيل الله أو ادفعوا قالوا لو نعلم قتالا لاتبعناكم. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He knows those who are hypocrites. Those that, when it's said to them that, get up, let's go for battle, they say, if we knew how to fight, we would have gone with you. هم للكفر يومئذ أقرب منهم للإيمان. they are closer to disbelief, to kufr, at that moment when they say this, than they are to iman and belief. يقولون بأفواههم ما ليس في قلوبهم والله أعلم بما يكتمون. This is where it explains what causes this trait. Does they say something that is not in their hearts? They say, we do not know how to fight, which is not true. Lying is another way, is another deed that when a person continuously does and commits, it would embed in their hearts the trait of nifaq. Another case where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us one of the traits of munafiqeen, which we'd like to know so we can make sure that we have none of that in our hearts. If anything leads to nifaq, we want to make sure we are distanced from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Nisa, verse 142, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن المنافقين يخادعون الله وهو خادعهم. The hypocrites are trying to trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah is fooling them. وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قَامُوا كُسَالًا. This is the point. When they get up for prayer, they don't have enthusiasm. They're drowsy. They don't feel like praying. It's as though they're forced to pray. They don't like to pray. They're getting up. They perform the action, but the heart is not there. This is also a sign of a hypocrite. And it's something that we want to make sure we don't have, brothers and sisters. When we get up to pray, we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the universe, the one who gives us everything, the one who gives us sustenance and all that we work for, the one that has given us life and that will take that away from us. We are speaking to Him, the Almighty, the one that there is no might except through Him. And why is it that when we pray, we don't have our hearts in it? This, if it continues, if we don't try to fix this problem, this is a symptom of nifaq. If we catch it at early stages, we will be able to change. But if we let it grow and grow and grow within us, it will result in something similar to what the people do to Imam al-Hassan.
Why did I say that I was thirsty from the start? I should have stopped you and never you did, but I should have never ever let us be apart. Come back to me, uncle, and I will be happy. Come back to me, uncle, and I will.
It's an interesting verse, Surah Nisa, verse 102. In this verse, there's two groups of people that have been put as opposites, mentioned as opposites. In one verse, it talks about munafiqeen, and then in the next verse, it says the following. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وآخرون اعترفوا بذنبهم. In the first verse he says that around Medina there are munafiqeen, some people are munafiqeen, and some are these, those who admit to their sin. اعترفوا بذنوبهم خلطوا عملا صالحا وآخر سيئا عسى الله أن يتوب عليهم إن الله غفور رحيم. That they have done bad deeds, but they admit that they've committed sin. By this form of mentioning, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning munafiqeen, and then when he wants to mention those who are not munafiq, he says that there are those who are not munafiq, we can identify them by this, that they admit to their sin. We know that it's very difficult not to sin. Most of us are sinning. We have committed sin in our life. If we don't admit to sin, if we don't accept that we have committed sin, we have done wrong, then we fall under the category of munafiqeen. On the other hand, if we accept and admit that we have committed sin, this will keep away nifaq from our hearts. In many of these supplications that we have received from the Imams, in numerous occasions, they speak about this. They try to teach us that when we're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should remind ourselves of the sins that we've committed. We say that we have committed such and such act. Oh Allah, forgive us for the sins that we've committed in private. Oh Allah, forgive us from the sins that we've committed in public. O Allah, forgive us for so and so sins. O Allah, I admit that I have committed sin. I have done wrong. All those teachings are to teach us something, a solution, something that would keep nifaq from our hearts. Otherwise, if we commit sin, and if we don't admit to that sin, according to this verse, we fall under the category of nifaq, and that will grow in us. That will grow and grow until it reaches a stage where we will be the same as those that went against the Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us and to give us the opportunity to ask for forgiveness and to admit to our sins. And we ask Him to please keep us away from the trait of nifaq. We ask him lastly to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.